Hey, all cheaters. Welcome to the I Was Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great, Josh. Ready to get my hands dirty on this podcast. I feel like, you know, we had kind of a week to see whatever was happen. Now we've got to get ready for game week 22. I'm looking at my FPL squad right now. I've got 8 flags of varying darkness of color.
Yep.
And two playing double game weekers, it seems. So we've got a lot to talk about with what I want to do with my team, what you're going to do with your team, and what everybody out there listening should be thinking about for their team.
That's right. And, you know, I think there's like an elephant in the room here as well, which is that there's something about the last 7 days. Like, so this is not, you know, we've done the December ranty. This is frustrating. I'm going crazy pods. That's behind us.
That's meat and drink for us, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. That is in the past. We've consumed that meal. But there's something about the last like week and a half or so, like since the new year, basically, that is like broken some of our most like solid friends in the fantasy community. Yeah. Like people who are just very hardcore, like rolling with it, you know, see every, you know, moment as an opportunity. And I think it was weirdly enough, the cancellation of the Everton Leicester match this week, like some people were like, okay, that's, you know, and I mean, for me, I mean, I took a -4 kind of at the last minute. I was debating not taking any points at all. I took a -4 to bring in Son and Soufal. Right.
This would have been ahead of game week 21.
Ahead of game week 21. Right. So then Son gets an injury. Don't have him for the doubles. And Soufal has COVID. Right. So there's just a lot of that going around. COVID and bad transfers. Right. So, you know, it's
Soufal starts with a C, as does COVID. I'm not trying to draw any parallels here, but just saying,
there's a logical one. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I should have seen that one coming, really. Mm-hmm. And so there are a couple comments, just because I want to put a spin on this, right? And I know I've said this before, but if you're listening to this podcast still, like if you've given up, you're just not listening, right? So if you're listening, you're looking for the Always Cheating Podcast to try to make fan. You might be listening for strategy. You know, maybe we'll do that. Sure. Maybe we'll pull that off. I don't know. Who knows? But you know, making fantasy fun again is definitely at the heart of what we do. It's about the experience of actually playing FPL. And BV had a comment on our Slack. He said, "I'm about as cynical as they come, but I'm still enjoying this season, and I consider pretty much every match a treat. Does this explain why I still stink, or maybe there are a few others with me?" And Brandon, this is really something I have been surprised to find, which is that even there, you know, I think it was Boxing Day when we only had 5 matches, or maybe it was the weekend before, you know, but I think it was the weekend before. And there, the COVID, you know, when the season ended with COVID, and even when fans came back and there was, before fans came back and there were just matches, you know, nobody in the stands, that was not the Premier League to me. That was not the experience. I didn't, you know, last year when there were no fans, I just couldn't enjoy it as much because it didn't feel like kind of a, you didn't have that kind of specialness, the connection. It didn't feel real. You know, it felt like an exhibition in some ways. So even though, and so I guess
like somebody was playing a game of Championship Manager or something like that, and it had it wasn't happening in IRL.
Yeah, exactly. It was the game. I've said this before too, but you know, I'm just going to keep repeating. This is like Josh's greatest hits right here, but
I love it.
Putting them all together in one paragraph here. But you know, FPL worked last year. The game really didn't for me this year. The game still works. FPL kind of doesn't. But to BB's point, I feel exactly the same way, which is that I have this like, you know, it's like we came out of the Great Depression or something like that. And I'll always appreciate like having bread on the table. You know, it's like every time there's a match on, I'm still having fun. You know, there's still fans there. I'm still enjoying myself. I can separate the two. And so that's why, as frustrated as I get, I know I'm not going to quit FPL because I'm not going to quit watching matches because I love it. And if I'm not going to quit watching matches, I might as well just keep playing, even if I keep getting super frustrated, because what else am I going to do? Like just watch it, let my poor team just wither. I can't do that. Constitutionally, I can't do that.
You know? I know what you mean, because last season there was something disconnected, as you were saying, and this season, as frustrating as it is to see players get positive diagnoses and matches get canceled, there's something very relatable about that, because this is what's happening in our own lives, just coming out of the holidays too. Like a lot of us had holiday plans canceled, you know, just as Everton Leicester got canceled, so did Christmas with mom. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So yeah, that's true. Like literally in your case. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, and that did happen to me. So it's almost like we're in it with the Premier League teams and the players and the club staffs as this goes, which makes it just more relatable. And more to BV's point about, is it fun then to play FPL? Did you ever play Tetris, Josh? Did you ever go through a Tetris phase?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I did. And my mom did. Weirdly, because I got Tetris in the late '80s or something like that. And I
whenever the Game Boy came through your household, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, but my mom was she loved Tetris even more than I did. She liked Dr. Mario too.
So I think a lot of us veteran FPL managers will think of Tetris in this sense of yes, the game starts and I'm slotting all of my pieces into their places and I've got a strategy. Where we are right now with FPL is the end moment of that Tetris, where everything's going too fast, the puzzle is too high, you're about to die, but you're still playing. And I feel like that's how I'm approaching FPL, is the puzzle pieces are moving too fast. It feels like I'm gonna end at some point, but I'm still moving these pieces around as hopefully as I can, because that's just what you have to do as a person who has chosen to play this game, right?
Yeah, I mean because what is the alternative is just to, there's no way to half do it, right? You can't set your team and not, I mean, it's at that point you just might as well. I mean, I guess it is slightly complicated because you've got these Hall of Fames and things like that, right? Which some people, which I still don't, I wouldn't say that I'm hugely interested in as a thing. I mean, I'm sure if you're in the top, 50 in the world or whatever, that's a big thing. But otherwise,
Fabio Borges, we see you, buddy.
Yeah, you're exactly. The man. But otherwise, if you're 2,843rd in that ranking, it's you could probably have a 600K season. Sure. It's fine, it's just a weird one. I mean, Lee from FPL Family said, are we fundamentally playing a different FPL game this year? I'm for sure being far more reactive, playing the week in front of me and making transfers as late as possible. And I don't remember the last time I looked at a price change website.
Yeah, right.
That is, it is different for sure.
Yeah. 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 I definitely feel that, Lee. The events happening around FPL have changed how I play. And I think the challenge for FPL managers now is not necessarily can you adapt to the way you play. I think it's what we're talking about, Josh, is can FPL managers just mentally hang in there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I feel like the changes to how we should be playing the FPL game are probably smaller than we think. It's really just the mental leap that we have to make because the game feels so unstructured at the moment.
And it's not going to last. It really isn't. I really think that, I mean, for one thing, just so many players have already had this, right?
Yeah.
And I really do think, I mean, in New York, we finally seen our peak, right? And I think that London, has as well, though I haven't been tracking that as closely. And, it's sort of we're coming down, we saw this in South Africa, right? They had the massive spike and then it dropped because it's just everyone who's able to, or, who's in the zone of being able to get it, right? I mean, I've said this before. It's if you just lay in bed and think deeply about Omicron, you'll get Omicron. That's how contagious it is,
Yeah, right.
And
right.
It's but that means it is going to it's causing all kinds of chaos right now. And I'm feeling that way thinking about 22, but it's not going to last, right? By the time February rolls around, we should be back to something approaching normal.
And simply look at the FA Cup. We just had a huge slate of FA Cup fixtures in the third round this weekend. And I think virtually all of them went off. Some players couldn't participate, and Trent Alexander-Arnold is certainly one that sticks in my mind.
Right.
But it was reassuring to see so many FA Cup matches being played and not having to be postponed. That does give me hope that, I agree, we will hopefully be coming out of the worst of all the COVID cancellations.
Yeah, and apparently he might be okay. I mean, I don't want to get too much into the Game Week 22 player talk yet, but there's talk that he got it shortly, like he's kind of coming out the other side now, like because the rules are changing. Anyway, I don't want to get too much into the COVID talk, but I did want to just like talk about that because, you know, I didn't want to spend the whole pod doing like kind of we're going to be okay type talk, right? Because that's just, I mean, there's like a place for that, but it's also like we got a double game week ahead of us, you know, and I don't want to get too bogged down and. But we just got so many questions about like what the heck are we doing right now? But I felt like I had to at least drop it at the top of the pod before we get into the strategy stuff.
There is always a scene in the war movie where there's the guy where both of his legs are blown off, and the guy holding the guy's hand is like, "You're gonna be okay. We're gonna." Listener, you are not in that situation. I'm telling you, you're actually gonna be okay. Your legs are intact.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you know, as frustrating as it's been, I mean, I can't believe I took a -8 on a injured and COVID player. But you know, even then, I'm still not. I could get under a green arrow this week, right? Yeah. So like, let's try to keep perspective here.
Yep.
A little bit, you know, it's like it's not going according to plan, but it's probably not going as badly as it could. Yep. All right. Anyway, so a couple more opening thoughts here, Brandon. Were you feeling the magic of the FA Cup this weekend?
I suppose a little bit. I tuned in for Fulham Bristol City, and Fulham eked out a 1-0 victory with a
117th minute or something, right?
Yeah. And extra time, Harry Wilson with a chass, you know, a cross shot, whatever. Love to see it. And it's always fun. You see the early matchups with interleague teams, you know, two championship clubs going at it, as opposed to Man City just hacking away at poor old Swindon Town. Much love to Michelle and the other Swindon fans who we know. I think I was more attuned to the magic of the cup, just given how precious, as BV and Lee say, precious actual football is to us right now.
Yeah, I kind of watched some stuff on and off, a little of the Arsenal match, the Arsenal loss today. Just sort of kicking around. It's kind of nice the way ESPN covers it here in the United States. I mean, you can watch literally every single match, which is kind of insane. So it was fun the last couple of days just to have matches on all the time in case you wanted to kind of dip your toe in. Yeah, but it was almost too much. I find the opening weekend, the round three matches to be almost overwhelming in terms of just how many are on at the same time. It was kind of interesting. I mean,
if they did Goal Zone for when there were like 15 matches simultaneously, that would be epic. Doing a whip around.
It'd be kind of like NFL Red Zone, right? Then you'd just be like, dude, it'd be all key plays. I think that, the other interesting thing was Leicester fielding a team. I believe they won their match. And then immediately the next day they petitioned the Premier League to have their midweek match postponed because of injuries, AFCON, and presumably a COVID case or two. I'm not even sure if that matters at this point. Yeah. Like
they stomped Watford 4-1. There's one word for what Leicester are up to here, Josh, and that's cheeky.
Shenanigans. Yeah, yes. I know. And I wonder if they're just going to keep postponing them until March. I don't even until Vardy's back from injury and all the players are back from AFCON. I don't really know. It's kind of a weird... the Premier League just like made up the rules as they went along. And so I can't blame these clubs for trying to take advantage of our opportunity. I mean, you know, if you're in a team in poor form and you've got some injured players, like I'd try to claim a COVID exemption too, right? Like find some guy in the back room who's got COVID and, you know, one COVID player and nine others injured. And that's probably enough.
Something kind of related but different was the situation with Watford and Emmanuel Dennis, and will he go play for Nigeria and AFCON or not? And I think the takeaway from what you're saying, Josh, and the Emmanuel Dennis thing is the stakes are just so high for these clubs who are on the bubble of how much money are they going to make / how much money are they going to lose this season?
Yeah. I wondered about that. Actually, I was thinking about the money thing earlier, because I wonder if in a different time we're going down, wasn't quite so catastrophic. Right. I mean, it was never good. Like it was never like you like were okay with it, but now it feels like it's like, it costs you like hundreds of millions of dollars. Like the amount of money it costs you to go down is like the money you could use to like buy a, you know, I don't even know, like an MLS team in the United States or something.
Yeah. And there are, of course, the parachute payments, which help soften that blow, if not like make the blow imperceptible for clubs like Norwich and Fulham. But the competition is getting harder and harder in the Championship as more people with money start investing. So going down to the Championship, there's, even with the parachute payments, there's virtually no guarantee that you're going to remain financially sound.
No, it's, I mean, if you stay up, there's no guarantee, right? I mean,
well, it's true, know, yeah.
Newcastle until they get sold to Saudi Arabia.
To a nation state, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, so that, yeah, I didn't watch too much of it. I kind of took this weekend off a little bit. I went sledding, Brandon, so that was
nice.
That was fun.
Yeah, Snowfall. There was Snowfall.
Mm-hmm. Great Bond movie. Just turned into another Skyfall, not Snowfall.
I was trying to think of like what is it that is also called Snowfall? It's either a Doves song or a Bond film. Anyway, yeah, everybody loves the first snowy, sleddy snow day, where you get to skip school in January.
Oh, that's great. And so that way it was like a Rockwell painting and it was very fun. But yeah, the other fun thing was the sports betting opened up in New York City. And I had a lot of fun with that. It's mobile sports betting, I should say. It's a, you know, it's a big, very common thing in the UK. And I'm sure other states in the union for that matter, Brandon. But it was my first experience with it in New York State. And
Still on the Betsy Ross flag? You count 13 states?
Yeah,
I'm still on
13. Yeah, just the original colonies are really all I'm going with still. Delaware, and others. But yeah, it was I someone who used to love small stakes online poker, which I did for a long time. It brought back some of that, the fun of that, just little, little micro. It's kind of like fantasy, really, just these little, little stakes. I don't need to be betting $500, but it's fun to have $5 in something. So I'm going to start on our, this is like a segue into a little Patreon thing here, Brandon.
Go on.
I'm going to start a little betting channel on our Patreon Slack. So if anyone
it exists.
Well, there you go. I'm going to join it then. But if anyone out there, Patreon or otherwise, has any betting advice, and if the advice is don't do it at all, then I don't need to hear that because I'm sure you're right. But I'm enjoying it for now. Okay.
Yeah.
When I lose my shirt, I'll come back here and apologize. But I'm not.
We've got free shirts at the Always Cheating Patreon, Josh. So maybe maybe you just become a patron of your own podcast. So yeah, here's your opportunity to do the pitch.
Yeah, I'm enjoying betting $3 on certain outcomes. Anyway, so just a little juice, right, Brandon? It's like you and I used to.
Totally.
Back in the day.
I was at your apartment and we had nothing going on back in our single days. And we popped on, ESPN 25 and there was a Dutch league match happening. It was actually our very first time seeing Graciano Pelle in action.
Yeah.
We had no knowledge of these teams playing or anything. And we just started making non-monetary bets as to in which minute was a goal going to be scored.
Did we put a dollar on it or something? I think we had like a little,
You always think. You always think.
We'll at the see. Time, we were both in book publishing. A dollar was a lot of money. That was like a month's salary, So that
I expect to get an invoice on your deathbed. I'm sure that's going to happen. But yeah, it's always fun to have a little juice.
All right, so we'll get into the actual fantasy talk now. But I did want to note, even though Everton-Leicester has been postponed, Southampton, Brentford, and West Ham, Norwich go on. So, and you at least, it sounds like Livramento's just not going to play, which is, he might have to have surgery. And so he's just kind of done, it sounds like. But you at least have somebody in that. You got Broha in that match, which that could be fun.
Sure.
And then West Ham, Norwich, let's see. I mean, Moyes gave me a little glimmer of hope that Soufal might be ready to play on Wednesday. That would be awesome. But I at least have Antonio over Bowen as like my little differential captain pick. So,
and Bowen, who played the full 90 in the FA Cup, which, I mean,
a lot of minutes for him.
Yeah.
Antonio did two, but he did get subbed with like a minute to go. So, he's a minute fresher.
Every minute counts, Josh.
Yep. So anyway, so that's still to come later this week. We're going to do our Patreon podcast on Wednesday this week. Give everybody one extra day to plan for game week 22. Any last minute bits of information that come through or injuries or who knows what, right now it's right now we should be doing podcasts like every 6 hours really to be up on the latest news.
Yeah.
At Patreon, if you want to say thanks, support the cheaters and talk $3 bets, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. You can join our Slack, get an extra podcast each week. We do our manager of the month award. Have you heard back, Brennan, from the December manager yet?
Oh yeah. Charlie. Yeah. Charlie he's in, he won, he's great. Getting his t-shirts and that is well earned, Charlie, for joining our Dean's List.
All right. The Week in the Review newsletter, which we sometimes glide past, but really is a fun thing. You get to kind of see where you rank, and it's a fun thing. And so shout outs to Martin Weisskost, Joel, and Dimitri Slavin. Dimitri Slavin being a returning patron. That's right, Brandon. You can be a patron, leave, and then just come right back. Why not?
Why not?
Take a little break and come back. It's great to have you back, Dimitri. So anyway, let's take a break now and we'll get back and we'll talk about Game Week 22.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, Brian, we're back. Game week 22 kicks off on Friday. That's an important note. Friday kickoff. Oft forgotten. Like, even people who think that they are just, like, locked in, they would never forget. It happens, okay? Yeah. Like, you pulled into a meeting or whatever, and suddenly it's like, oh, now you're out to dinner or whatever, right? It's 8 o'clock on Friday night. So
just take a nap.
Yeah. Brighton Palace. That's kind of a fun, I don't really care what happens kind of match, right? That's a great, great. Although, you know, we're in the doubles. So let's get into the doubles. Who is playing? One of those teams is Brighton, but I'll go alphabetical here. Brentford have a tricky double. They play Liverpool away and Man United at home. You and I on our Patreon pod this week ranked all of these. I guess we don't have to do that now, but I'm just going to give a little commentary.
Set the table.
As I go
set
here.
The table,
set the
Josh.
Table here. Yeah. So Brentford, Liverpool away, Man United at home. Brighton play Palace at home and Chelsea at home. So two home matches. Maybe maybe your boy Mape. You know, something to think
about. How many plastic flags are they going to be giving away at the Amex in the coming week?
I know. I still got mine. I can see it right now. It's on my room here. Burnley play Leicester at home, Watford at home. It's one of the better doubles, although it requires you to have a Burnley player.
It requires Leicester to play as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. It requires Leicester to play too. I know that does make things tricky. Chelsea have Man City away, Brighton away. But it is Chelsea, although they've been in not so hot form. Yeah. Leicester play Burnley away and Spurs at home. And as we discussed, we don't know how long Leicester are going to try to keep this going, you know, it's kind of fascinating, right? If they got the one match, like nothing's going to change right by this weekend. Like, I don't know.
So.
Yeah. It's fascinating. Like what's going to happen there.
Yeah. I guess the fact that Daka could not report for international AFCON duty because of his injury
but he's like, his country's like on standby. It's like, they're not even like in AFCON.
Okay.
It's like a weird thing.
My point is he could come, Daka could come back to life for Leicester within the AFCON window. That's hopeful. That's optimistic, at least for fantasy managers. But what I like here is, and you're going to get to Spurs in a moment, that Leicester's second fixture is Spurs. So if Spurs can hang on long enough to postpone various matches, at least Spurs is the farthest one out. We have hope that's probably the most likely one that Leicester will play, because Spurs are the assets we want, right?
That's a good point. And that makes me really delighted that I took that -4 to bring in Son. You know,
wonderful stuff.
Who's now going to miss both matches in the double. Although we know it's a classic Sun. Sun is the master of the injury where he could be gone for a week or 6 months, like totally unclear. You know, he almost always seems to beat the injury projection. So I mean, I don't think he's going to be back for these doubles, but I think that we could see him.
Never tell Sun the odds, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. So we'll see what happens with Heung-min Son. Then we have Man United, Villa away, Brentford away. Tricky time, though, for Man United, don't you think? This is like a weird,
It is a tricky time, and I think this is kind of where I was getting to at the end of last week, is Manchester United are in an insane place as a club right now, but they still remain a club where despite all of that, they could be a club that shows up and has a turgid 1-0 loss to Wolves or just completely spanks Aston Villa 4-1.
And they're not going to spank Aston Villa.
I would be surprised, but yeah. I believe there is a reality in which that could be true. So yeah. I think Manchester United, I am entertaining the idea of United players for this double. I think they are probably top three teams in this list of teams you're running through right now.
I agree. And we'll talk about free hits versus wild card versus just regular transfers in a second. Bench boost used to be an option. I think that's probably off the table now just because of all the various COVID issues and some injuries. But I think, let's hold off on Man United for now because they don't play until tomorrow in that FA Cup match. And so I'm curious to see how they look. If Villa spank, in your words, Aston Villa, 6-0, okay, then fine. I'll reconsider things. Maguire's got his chest injury, Brandon, so he's out.
The chest is you should have worn that breastplate, Harry.
Yeah, exactly. There was a question from FPL Chancer Dan. He was asking how excited we are about what's happening at Villa right now, and because they have Coutinho is coming, and apparently Lucas Dean is coming as well, which is interesting.
If Lucas Dean goes to Aston Villa, the Everton fans should just. I mean, Rafa Benitez, you need to go into hiding, my man, because what are you even doing?
That's true. That's like a great buy low, right? I think it's like a 20 million or something like that. Yeah. I think like a great price for Dean. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, the guy can score, he can cross. He's an okay defender. Feels like there's a spot for him in the Premier League.
Totally sympathetic to anybody who comes into a management situation, you know, whether it's football management or just like
human management.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just got to whip people into shape. And I don't know enough about the situation to know if maybe Lucas Dean is a total brat. But yeah. I feel like given what's going on at Everton right now, brat or not, Rafa he has no players who are doing a job. And to let Lucas Dean go to a competitor, like right at where you are in the table, is insane. And if Dean goes to Villa, he's going to have a point to prove, I would suggest. And Target, I really loved Matt Target last season. I thought he had a fantastic season for Villa, but he has proved defensively a liability for Villa this season. It's just like in the span of a year, he's just like really lost a step. I think Dean would add a lot. Like, just imagine just like the sex appeal with Cash on the right and Dean on the left. Outrageous stuff.
You would have a nice haircut. You're right, though, but Cash and Dean, you'd have a nice haircut clash, right? Because you'd have Cash with the kind of moppy sort of Grealish-y hair, and then or used to anyway. I don't know if I think it's been shorter now than it used to be. And then you got Dean with that kind of high and tight, but kind of hipster style, you know, like it's not military.
It's just all very exciting at Villa right now. I have to agree.
Yeah. I'll give it a 7 on us. I don't know. But Brennan, my scale was 1 to 7. So that's right at the top.
So Coutinho, though, I think is, well, have we gotten to player talk yet? We haven't made it through our list.
We haven't named all the teams that have double game weeks.
Go on. Really, so we got Manchester United. Where are we with them? Aston Villa away, Brentford away. We've got two more teams with doubles. Go on, Josh.
Spurs play Arsenal at home, Leicester away, and then Watford play Newcastle away and Burnley away. So looking at these 8 teams, before we get into the players here, actually the next question is how should we manage this? But, which team of these 8 has the best double game week, would you say?
I feel like it's Watford, even though it's two away matches. They're against the two worst teams. And say what you will about Watford being among that rabble. It's yeah. Newcastle and Burnley. The appeal there is just shrewd fantasy logic. These are where attacking points can be found. Watford have yeah. not kept a clean sheet since beyond this Premier League season. Yeah. But they can score goals. So we're looking at Emmanuel Dennis and we're looking at Josh King, and these are borderline, I won't say captaincy options, Josh. I'll say borderline vice captaincy options there at Watford in the front line.
Yeah. I think Josh King in particular, you know, Dennis has apparently some minor little injury, although he's supposed to be okay by the time the Premier League comes back. But I think that King, like, pretty solid. And yeah, again, like, I agree that they might be the best just because, like, you're not going to bring in a Watford defender, right? So it's fine. You're going to bring in one or two of their forwards, and that would be it. I think, yeah, like you said, Man United could be okay, although I fear for them in that Brentford away match, because that'll be a midweek night match, and I just would not want to play Brentford in a night match, right? It's just like,
yeah, that's at their Lego yeah, stadium, where they yeah. actually play decently at home.
Yep, exactly, absolutely. So I wonder about, you know, Leicester, if they play those matches. I think their double looks okay.
You've glossed over Spurs here, Josh, and I feel like Spurs are probably my second highest rated, and obviously the Sun news is devastating to managers, because so many of us already have Sun in our teams. What do we do?
Yeah,
but it is probably the most fun team if you're thinking of doing something extravagant in game week 22, like playing a free hit chip or wild carding, or just you've got to get rid of Son to bring somebody else in. Suddenly Lucas Moura, who was a player where you're like, does he start, does he not, becomes a player who probably starts both matches and is very affordable.
Yeah.
And he's pretty all action. So, and Harry Kane is, you know, if he didn't get the memo that he needs to pick up the slack a couple of months ago, he's definitely getting that memo again here. So Spurs in the North London derby in front of their home fans, and then Leicester, who are decimated. This looks good for them.
That's all fair. I mean, I don't know what's giving me pause here. I guess it's just I watched the Spurs Watford match, and it just felt like there was like a kind of same old Spurs to it. You know, they just couldn't. Sure. They just, like, once again, they lack like a creative midfielder, you know, and it just feels like it's like, you know, if they can't pick up a counterattacking goal. I mean, the one goal they scored was just Son basically won that goal for him, right? It was just like he made a move and won a free kick. You know, it wasn't like it came like through open play, you know. I guess that's the only thing that throws me up a little bit. It's one of the things that actually makes me a little wary of a free hit is just, all right, like if I free hit, I've got to bring in Kane. Like it'd be impossible not to. But Kane without, I mean, the Kane will be fine without Son, but was it today or yesterday in the FA Cup as well? But you know, I just don't think, I don't know that I trust the whole team. Although, yeah, I mean, I agree. Like if I was free hitting, which I might still do, we're going to get to the free hits talk in a second. I think Kane, Moura, and Reguilón, those would be three of the first three I'd have in my squad.
Yep. Agreed. Definitely. Yeah. So Spurs but Manchester United, where you were trying to rate this tricky double of Villa and Brentford who are the players that stand out there?
Yeah. And we'll talk more about players in a second, like proper like player talk, but it's hard to say because the Man United, it's very similar to the Spurs Watford game. That Man United Wolves game was diabolical, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was Watford should have won like 3-0. Like it was not, it was really, we never, I mean, they feel like Watford, or Wolves, excuse me. You're right. Wolves should have won. Maybe anyone could have won that day. Right?
We all.
It was not a great. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, Man United supporters will say as much themselves, right? It was not a great performance. And you know, somewhat unsurprisingly, now you're seeing all this locker room talk come out. There's talk that, you know, Ronaldo very predictably is getting to kind of bust ups with his teammates and things like that. And it's just not a fun situation.
I couldn't help but notice in the Manchester United Instagram today, there were lots of now everyone on the training pitch, hog here. And there are lots of friends pictures on the United Instagram. And it was all the Portuguese. It was Dalot and Ronaldo. And I can't remember who the third guy was with them. It wasn't Bruno, though. So it seems to be that that narrative is trying to be squashed by the club itself. Let's get to player talk in a moment. I think this question from El Fat Boy is interesting, though, because we're a little less than a week away from the Friday deadline. El Fat Boy says, is doing anything before Friday nuts? So we've talked a lot about the constant shifting sands of the Premier League and FPL. We're going to talk a lot about moves that we're thinking of making, Josh. Are we going to do anything before Friday morning? I mean, for us here in the States, or I guess it's like most people who are within a five-hour window of Greenwich Mean Time, a Friday deadline is helpful because it's not early in the morning for us, et cetera.
Yep.
But would you do anything before Friday?
No. Absolutely not. And I've just made that mistake too many times. I mean, just like Friday is a press conference day, right? And like, I mean, of course, like on the one hand, like this is like an obvious thing, but really like just don't, it's like Lee was saying at the top of the pod, right? Like just don't look at, I'm not really following price changes right now. I made that mistake a few weeks ago where I brought in Ollie Watkins, ahead of the price change. Mm-hmm. Because I just wanted to save. I brought in Watkins and Foden. I don't even know what this is, like game week 17 or something like that. And, you know, I did it before the price change. I woke up the next morning and that match got postponed. Right. So I'm going to definitely wait until.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly. I'm at 0, 0, 0, and 0. I've had literally not one single point yet from Watkins in the four game weeks I've had on my team. He hasn't even like played a minute. It's crazy. Anyway. Beside the point. So I think just wait until the last minute. It's nerve-wracking, but it's worth it.
I agree with you, Josh, but I think my recommendation is take the next few days or take Thursday to come up with a plan. Imagine like your Pep Guardiola coming up with a tactical plan. Maybe Pep in the Champions League is not the best example, but imagine your Thomas Tuchel coming up with a tactical plan. You've got a few different options. Make sure you've thought through a few different options before you get to crunch time for that deadline. So you're not just scrambling to figure out what you've already thought about what you're going to do. And then, 30 minutes before that deadline, an hour or two, some people have super busy schedules. You can just enact one of those plans that best makes sense for where we are at that point.
Yeah, I did that the last time I free hit. I had a bunch of different screenshots that I had taken of different matches, depending on how everything was going to shake out. And it was really useful at the end. And it was stressful in that moment, like the 30 minutes before. But it worked out. I mean, the free hit team I put together actually really did work out well, and it was mostly assembled the night before. So I think you're right that you can don't make any moves, but you can at least get your team set up there. So that's just good. Good strategy. Good thing to remember. Jack S says, if a double game week has no good teams or good players actually having a double game week, is it even a double game week?
I mean, technically, I guess it is. But I mean, this is the trope season after season, is how single game weekers are overlooked in favor of, the enticing, the alluring double game week players.
Yeah.
How many of us have had Ross Barkley because he's got an upcoming double,
Damari Gray this week, right? Terrible luck there, but yeah.
Double game weeks can blind people to the best options in front of them. I think where I'm struggling with Jack's question here is I don't even really comprehend that there's a double game week happening at all, because in my team, I'm going to struggle mightily to field a full 11, regardless of whether they're a double game week or not.
Yeah.
So when I'm looking at my squad and my strategy for game week 22, I'm just trying to stay alive. I'm just trying to field a team.
You shared a screenshot with me here, and unfortunately, this is not a video. Well, Fortunately for us, I don't want to do a video podcast, but fortunately we're not on video right now. But yeah, I'm looking at your team. You've got Mendy out, Trent, we'll see. Livramento, probably out. Salah out, Son out, Watkins out. Actually, Watkins should be okay. I think you're going to be okay on that. Foster out, not that that really matters. And then James out. So you got the Brownhill double, Josh Brownhill. And you got and you got Josh King. You got the Joshes. You got two Joshes for going for you. So when I was looking at it earlier, I was thinking that your team – I mean, we'll get back to the question of whether this is a good double game week or not in a second. But just because you brought up your team, I mean, I think your team is the best argument I've seen for maybe just playing a wild card, honestly. Yeah. And it feels a little risky because we don't know what other postponements are going to happen. But you'd still have a free hit to bail you out later. I think we already know which teams are going to have lots and lots of doubles to come, right? It's not like it's a shocker. I mean, if you brought in someone like Harry Kane, you're going to get plenty of doubles over the next few weeks, right? And they're out of Europe completely now.
Yeah, and I think it was last week or the week before where I was kind of dead set against a wild card going into 22 because of the exact situation I found myself in. Yeah. Because with the logic being like, why wild card into a team that could end up looking like the team I have now? Right. But isn't this why you have a wild card? To get yourself out of this situation. And it's a bit of a gamble, you know. So I think what we were hopeful of at the start of this podcast is Omicron is been found out, and hopefully we're getting things under control, and we'll see fewer and fewer in postponements as we go. And if what's going to take what it's going to take, knock on wood. What it will take to get me to bail me out in game week 22 is a minus 12, probably. Do I take the minus 12 now, or do I take the minus 12 when I need to capitalize on a double instead of using a wild card later on the season? I think there is a chance that you just end up being properly set up or have weeks to plan for a future double game week, and the wild card is maybe a little bit overrated. I'm just trying to find the best damage limitation here. And I agree, because wild card in my situation where I've got eight prominent flags will put me in better stead going into game weeks 23, 24, et cetera. Whereas if I free hit in game week 22, I can come back in game week 23 and I still could potentially still have a number of flags, and I still have to solve that problem. Do I want a free hit into a wild card? That feels like I'm just depleting all of my powerful chips at that point.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that free hitting and then wild carding seems right to me. I mean, we're into the 20s now. It's not like you're wild carding in January 1st. I mean, I realize it's like the first full game week after that, but I mean, it is a double game week. It's like you're wild carding anytime you wild card into a double game week, it's not like you're just wild carding into some random, it's like you can maximize it, I think, a little bit. And I mean, for one thing, you know, you could set yourself up long-term with two playing goalkeepers, which is something that I don't have, which has caused me endless grief over the course of this season. I mean, with all the AFCON stuff, I don't know. I mean, a minus 12 just feels like so much that you might as well just play the wild card now, and maybe you won't need a minus 12 later, right? Like maybe you can just, you know, it sounds like the next massive double. I mean, first of all, we're going to have doubles all the time over the next few weeks, right? Like, you know, you could just toss a Burnley defender on your bench, right? Because they're going to have so many doubles in the next few weeks. So like the next big one's going to be game week 36, right? That gives you 13 weeks to think and prepare for that. Like, I don't see that being a situation where we're going to have to take a minus 12, right? Mm-hmm. Just by sheer chance, you're going to end up having quite a number of double game week players for that, right? So I think in that position, I wouldn't do it. I mean, you know, I'm not considering, just because I think my team looks okay as is. I mean, it's just little things that make it better, right? I've got De Gea, right, who's got a double, and I have Antonio plays Leeds at home, right? You know, and like Leeds at home is a good enough single game week fixture that it feels like you can just roll with that. I mean, because you were talking earlier about ignoring the single the good single fixers at your peril, right? Mm-hmm. And in a general week, yeah, I mean, West Ham playing Leeds at home, and Liverpool playing Brentford at home are both fantastic fixtures. The Brentford one, I think, you know, like, you might be okay. You could, like, I mean, Jota without Mane and Salah, like, it's not, at the very least, it's a wild card, right? Like, I mean, Trent, if he's back, I mean, if Trent's out, then, like, that's really kind of in, you're in, like, what, you know, maybe you don't need anyone right now territory because, like, I don't know, like, without those crosses from Trent, and is Robertson finally back? I think he's finally able to play, right? So, yeah, it's just a tricky, I don't know. So, what do you think? Like, am I persuading you to consider, Robertson is back, by the way.
Wild card is probably most likely. It doesn't feel great, honestly. It feels awful. I've got some rotten luck here.
Is it because it's suboptimal, right? Like, because you're sort of in that, like, mindset of, like, since you've been able to play your wild card in any month, the idea is almost like wait to wild card until game week 35 or something like that.
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's suboptimal because of all of the uncertainty. I want to be wild carding into some level of certainty.
Sure. Yeah.
And to wild card into a team that very well might not have Mo Salah.
Probably wouldn't, right?
I mean, probably wouldn't have him. And a lot of people have already transferred Mo Salah out, and it's sort of like, well, what's the problem? But I don't want a wild card into a team that needs some, you know, high budget surgery. Yeah. And I think it's just like the best teams. I feel like what we haven't been able to focus on this season is through injury primarily. I'm thinking of Chelsea. Injury has decimated their really high performing defensive assets.
Yep.
And then Manchester City, I feel like they've just figured out how to annihilate opponents for the rest of the season. Right. I want to be wild carding in a bunch of City players, a bunch of Liverpool players, and a bunch of Chelsea players. And we're not at that precise moment just yet. So I'm going to end up wild carding in Spurs assets and probably it's like trying to like spread it a little thin across West Ham and
maybe
and
Mason
Leeds.
Mount makes his way in, you know.
And you know, it suddenly, you know, you feel like you've played a 4-week free hit instead of an intentional reshaping my team for a great run in. So this is my concern. Now, I think with, you know, you sit down and actually put together 25 different drafts and actually think hard about what the fixtures look like and potential fixtures to be rescheduled, you can come up with a workable wildcard plan right now. It's just kind of hurting my head, man.
Yeah. I mean, I would say in general, Man City don't hold a lot of appeal to me. Outside of Cancelo, who of course we all have, like, I feel like I tried it, didn't work. You know, I spent all December trying to find the right combination and it's like, good luck. You know, it's like, who knows? Like, 1 week it's KDB, 1 week it's Gundogan, 1 week it's Bernardo, 1 week it's Foden, 1 week it's Jesus, 1 week it's, you know, Grealish or will be eventually, 1 week it's Mahrez. Like, it's incredibly unreliable and hard to, and like, you know, honestly, you don't ever know when any of them are going to start, right? I mean, I guess Bernardo's the most reliable, but he's also the least furthest forward a lot of the time, you know? And so it's like, you know, so I would say them I'm not as excited about. I mean, Chelsea, again, I mean, they just have this, I mean, the Chelsea is an interesting one because on a wild card, there would be a mild temptation, I think, to get Lukaku, you know, which is like sort of on a free hit. I love Lukaku. Why not? Right. Yeah. I mean, it's the midfield, which has typically been, you know, where we've been focusing on with transfers and the last time I played a free hit for that matter, feels pretty weak this particular game week. The forward line feels a lot better, right? You've got lots of different options. You've got Ronaldo, you've got Lukaku, you've got the Watford forwards, you've got, I suppose, Chris Wood. I mean, I won't be touching him, but like, he is an option that some teams could consider, right? Mm-hmm. You got your boy Mape, right? Like, there's a lot of, so
don't
I
do
mean
that to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot, you know, I think the forwards are a little more tempting. So, but I guess my point is that, I'm not sure, like, it feels like we've been waiting all season for like the big three to all be kind of reliable and returning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I guess obviously Liverpool have, but the other two I'd say are a little more hit or miss.
Okay, well, yeah, let's veer back into actual game week 22 immediate strategy. And Stephen Curtis says, is free hit in game week 22 a viable option? So we've talked about my situation. You're feeling somewhat content about your team, Josh, but is there a lingering idea of you playing a free hit? And
yeah,
who is the manager out there who is in a position where a free hit is a good idea?
Yeah, for the record, I'm not feeling content about my team. I mean, okay. I don't like it. I'm incredibly annoyed about the Sun thing. You know, it's like I think a free hit is totally viable. And to go back to the Jack S thing, if no good teams or good players actually have a double game week, like, I mean, there's plenty of good players on Chelsea, Leicester, Man United, and Spurs, right? Let alone Watford. I mean, they're cheap forwards at least, right? Like, you know, it's Brentford, Brighton, Burnley. Okay, those three. Uh-huh. Little hit or miss those three, but like, are we really going to say that Chelsea don't have any fantasy assets just because they play Man City away in one of those matches? Like, I'm not totally buying that. And Leicester, if they actually played those matches, we should know if Leicester are playing by they canceled their midweek match several days in advance, right? So we should know if they're going to play this weekend by Friday, certainly. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, James Maddison, I mean, Harvey Barnes, right? Like, I mean, there's like a bunch of, you know, Patson Daka, if he's available, then I think he's in another forward option. We need like 9 forward spots this week, Brandon. That's really the problem here.
yeah, among many.
Yeah. And Man United, I mean, like, you know, you could still captain Ronaldo in a double game week. That doesn't seem so horrible to me. And, you know, I mean, we've seen Ronaldo, even when he's bad, he can just, you know, like I captained him on a free hit in that Norwich match, right? Like, they were kind of, you know, they were typical Man United. They just weren't creating as many chances as you expect them to, given their forward, you know, spots. But he created a goal by himself, right? Sold a foul and scored a pen. And so that happening over one of these two matches, like, mm-hmm. sure, right? And he's been given the captain's armband, so I assume he's going to start both these matches, right? They're not going to strip of the captaincy.
It's Ronaldo's team now. Yeah, it's just better, nobody worse. Nobody else is running that club for the rest of the season. Yeah. You know, go with God.
Yeah, Spurs. I mean, you talked already about Lucas, and I think that Kane and Reguilón as well. And then obviously we talked about Watford too. So I mean, I see toss a Brighton defender in there. Why not? Right? You know, you could toss a Sanchez or one of their cheap defenders in there. You know, Burnley, I would stay away from, even though they've got the two home matches. I would just avoid them completely.
Burnley
do stink. They do. And you know, especially because their talismanic midfielder is now
Jack Cork.
No, what's his name? I'm forgetting it. Cornet is in Africa. So they don't even have their kind of talismanic goal scorer, right? The one guy who's actually
Cork.
Played.
I feel well like if they married, you'd call him Cork. Like if they were dating, you'd call him Corkay. Jack Cork and Cornet out there, yeah.
And I think Brentford, I mean, you know, I think you've done the more than almost anyone, Brandon. You've kept the faith with Ivan Toney. I think even you have now given up on him as a reliable fantasy asset, right?
Not a fan. Not a fan.
It's like you're like I believed in you longer than anybody else, right? It's like it hurts you more, you know. It's like the end of Big Fish, you know, where you're like I believed you longer than anyone.
Well, Toney really is my Big Fish. It's true.
So if you just take away the Bs, right? Brentford, Brighton, Burnley, just knock them out, right? Mm-hmm. Then that leaves a double with Chelsea, Leicester, Man United, Spurs, and Watford. And like, don't tell me you couldn't put together a really fun free hit team with those players. And you know, we've got a couple more questions here about managing it, but I think we should just get right into the players now. We've been teasing it for too long here, Brandon. The one that I'm curious about, and this came up in a couple of different questions, is Bruno Fernandes. Would you consider Bruno on a free hit or a wild card?
Absolutely. 100% I would, because he's good. And, you know, you all you quants out there will say, ah, but look at the last few months where he hasn't. But here he is. When he came, when he was benched for surely some unjustifiable reason, as far as Ragnick is concerned, he came on, he hit the crossbar and worked Saw on the free kick in that last second of that Wolves match. I'm being so enthusiastic about Bruno in the confines of a free hit. Bruno is not somebody who I'd want to make a long-term bet on, but Bruno is a high upside fantasy asset.
He is. It would be nice if he'd played a single good match since Ronaldo had joined the team. Like one, I'm not sure he's played a single match since. Like, is it just like the longest bout of pouting that we've ever seen? Is that what's going on here? Like, that's the only thing you can explain it, right? Like Bruno Fernandes used to be like Mr. Smiles, right? Like, does it? I used to
that
be
guy
like,
never smiled. Wait, stop. I don't buy this at all.
He's got the big toothy, got very big, giant.
He was always angry on the pitch and yelling at his teammates for not being good enough and at his level. And what's happened is Ronaldo has come in and become that guy. And I mean, at the basic level, whatever system is played or whatever Ronaldo has done to the function of the starting 11 players is not working for Bruno.
Or anyone else.
Else. Yeah. But no, Bruno is not. I don't think he's pouting. I think Bruno is suffering. His play is suffering from the club politics, from the system, from everything. He is such an incredibly good player. And how could you refute that given what we've seen from the last two seasons? He is the best player at that club, and they should build around him. But instead, they've brought in somebody else.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Bruno is terrific, and I want him to do well. I actually don't know if I would consider him. I guess on a free hit, I probably would, just because there aren't a ton of great midfield options right now. But it's just like, I don't know. I have not enjoyed watching him play this season. I mean, I think that he... I don't know. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe he only smiled off the pitch or smiled when he scored a penalty or whatever. But he really did make everyone around him better, I thought. And I miss that. Maybe that's what I'm missing. It's like less Bruno, like more like his kind of impact on the pitch. And
I agree with
everyone,
that.
Everyone, he raised everyone's level. And now it's just they're playing worse and Ronaldo's screaming at everybody. And it's just kind of fun to watch
well, them. I don't even know if Ronaldo is even talking. At least Bruno would scream at people. Ronaldo just turns his back on everybody.
Yeah, he just turns his back and kind of throws his hands up in disgust or whatever. Yeah. So Patrick Reigert says, should we be looking at a Kane-Ronaldo-Lukaku frontline? Speaking of Ronaldo, should we be looking at a Kane-Ronaldo-Lukaku frontline for free hit teams this week?
No. I think Ronaldo and Kane both can make their cases as upside players. Lukaku, okay, so this kind of runs in tandem with the Bruno argument where is Lukaku, as is where is Bruno? Well, Bruno, I just feel like Bruno is the type of player who can, he can rise above, or a player as dynamic as
Bruno.
You're
getting a little choked up here, Brandon. You know,
no, I'm just trying to formulate like an actual not BS argument here, because I believe this to be true. Like, I feel like Bruno is a dynamic enough player where corrections could be made to his system to bring him in. I presume quite simply. I'm not German. Josh, but I think I can figure it out.
Yep.
But Lukaku, as good of a player he is, he's gone absent much like Bruno. I mean, Tuchel is not changing that system. And Lukaku is like form is so much more crucial for a player like Lukaku than it is for Bruno. I'm not interested in Lukaku for all of these reasons, whereas Ronaldo and Kane are just penalty incidents away from double-digit fantasy hauls.
I'm kind of with you. I mean, is Lukaku really a better pick than either Dennis or King? Like, not in my opinion, right? No. Not when you consider the $6 million difference.
Sure. Yeah. Precisely. Yeah. Just think about it. Okay. Take away all my like totally made up arguments about Bruno versus Lukaku. Just think about the budget and how you're going to spend it in your team this week. And it just makes no sense to triple up on these three strikers when I totally agree, Josh. Kane and King and Dennis are right there as good.
So I think what's interesting, so I think we're on the same page about the forwards. And I think when it comes to let's like build a team here, right? Like, you know, even if we aren't free hitting, let's just in like, you know, like I guess we'll think of it with free hit in mind though. Cause like build, if I were free hitting in 22, who would I bring? I think it's useful to think about that way. Even if you're just using regular transfers or a wild card.
Okay. I'm pulling up my team right now. I'm going to the transfer page. I'm wiping out all my players and I'm going to construct this team as we talk through it. I'll see like if we have got a budget for it or not.
Okay, so let's go. You and I are both Dennis men. I know that. I know the cool kids insist on Josh King because he's on pens and the underlying stats are apparently a little bit better. But, you know, so we're going to put Dennis in there, Brandon. Punch that button on Emmanuel.
It's punched. This is the
we'll keep it simple. Yeah.
Keep it simple, stupid. That's the Emmanuel Dennis pick.
Yeah, if it comes out that he's still carrying this injury, then slot King in there instead, right?
No
problem. So and then let's put Kane and Ronaldo in there.
Yeah, I think that's right. So Ronaldo, bam, he's in. Add player. Mm-hmm. I got to scroll down a fair way. There's Lukaku and Kane.
On them with a T, yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right, we've got our front line. Dennis, Ronaldo, Kane. Let's go to the midfield. Who's up first?
All right, the midfield. I think this is where things do get a little bit trickier. I think that let's assume for the moment that Leicester are playing. Okay. Seems likely it's a week from now. I don't even really know what COVID issues they actually have in the team. It feels like they're mostly injury and AFCON related, but still, mm-hmm. let's assume that they're able to field a squad. In that case, I think that James Maddison.
Yeah. James Maddison at 6.9. What a delightfully chav price tag for James Maddison.
That's great. Under seven, I think you're looking at a pretty good price given their fixtures. So we'll put Maddison in there and let's put, what do you think about a cheeky Trossard pick, Brandon?
Sure. That's fine.
Playing pretty far forward.
Let's see how it looks. Let's see how it looks.
6.1 million, I think.
Okay, so Brighton, and then I feel like midfield more than any other place in our teams, we need to talk about players who don't have doubles. You know, we're talking about Bowen v. Leeds. Yep. We're talking about Jota v. Brentford.
That's a good point. Jota in two versus, I don't know, like Tielemans, or Jota in one versus Tielemans in two. I guess I'm going to take Jota in one.
Yeah, right? You know you are.
Yeah.
You can act like you're not, but you are. So, okay. Yeah, so we got Matto, Trossard, and Jota. Where are we with Bowen here?
Let's throw Bruno in. Bruno in two over Bowen in one. Yep. Let's do it. All right. So now we got Bruno in there, and now we probably need some cheapies. So why don't you keep Josh Brownhill in there?
Okay, I don't even have to sell him.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna get to keep all the money that I've lost by owning Josh Brownhill since he was 4.5. That's fantastic.
So now you got your eight players, right? And how much money do you have left?
I have £34 million left to play with.
That might remove De Gea then as the keeper option. So I think we should go with Sanchez.
Sanchez for sure. I'm into it.
Yep.
Okay.
And then let's just do Sanchez's backup too. You know, I don't want to get, let's not get too complicated here, you know, but I want to fill out this team, Brandon, with money.
We've got to keep this moving. We got to keep this podcast moving. Okay. So Sanchez and then, Steele.
Yeah.
Blue Steele. Yep. Here we go. There we go. Okay.
All right. So now we're building the defense. And I think this is where things do get a little tricky. I think that, Marcus Alonso, well, first of all, I think that you should keep, I would probably just keep
Alexander.
I would keep Trent and I would keep Cancelo. Actually, I think I'd keep both of them. Honestly.
Okay, so now we're down to 10.8 million. So that's not possible.
Okay.
We got to get rid of one of these guys.
All right, why don't you drop Trent?
Yeah, we got to go.
That'll free up some more money. No Trent for 1 week.
Yeah.
All right. So drop Trent. Let's bring in Marcus Alonso.
That's what's up. Yep.
Yeah.
Alonso in.
All All right.
And now we've got three defenders left and $13 million to spare. So we're going to have to be very prudent. Do we want to double up on the Brighton defense here?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could at least toss one in a bench spot there, maybe. You know, you could throw, let's see. Dunk is injured right now. So that
we've got Dan Byrne at 4.4 or Duffy at 4.1.
Let's go Dan Byrne. That seems the safest. Dan Byrne definitely going to start both those matches, assuming no COVID.
Oh, shoot. We have too many players from Brighton because you insisted on having Jason Steele as our backup goalkeeper.
Okay. All right. Drop him for someone else then. Okay.
Let's come back to him. Let's see. If I go to goalkeepers and I say, who's the cheapest conceivable goalkeeper? There's got to be somebody at 3.9. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
McGovern.
Okay. Surely Brighton will play one of those two matches, you know? Famous last words, but let's assume.
Okay, so now we've got 8.7 to divvy up between two final defenders. I feel like Bruno is really... I think...
He throws things off. It's useful to do this experiment just to see, right? Just to see how it all fills out. No, let's keep it, though. These are basically bench spots anyway. So let's throw... I suppose you could throw Charlie Taylor in there, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
It's like $4.4 million.
All right, Charlie Taylor, you're in, and we've got one more spot to fill at 4.3.
Oh, God, we didn't even do Reguilón yet, did we?
No, we've got it. And no Lucas Moura? Okay, I feel like I want to make a vote for Moura over Trossard.
Okay, all right, let's go Moura over Trossard. I can accept that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're bringing it's
a useful experiment because you realize that Bruno might screw this up too much stay.
Not to mention the fact that we've got Kane and Ronaldo up front. Okay.
Right.
Maybe that's a problem.
Maybe $35 million across three players is too much.
Lucas Moura basically cost the same as Trossard. So we're still in business here.
Okay.
I mean, I think even like James Maddison downgraded to Jared Bowen would give us enough.
No, Maddison to me is like, I'm actually, the move that I'm really strongly considering would be Salah to Maddison and Watkins to Ronaldo. Those are like the, in my opinion, like the simplest, would be the simplest -4 I could take this week. Just do those two.
Simple like a nut. Like a nut?
Simple,
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we have like one spot left.
One defender and we have 3.9 in the bank.
Well, your third defender. This is the beauty of a free hit, right? So let's go to...
You want Mankio? Tsimikas? Tsimikas is at 3.7.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, great. Yeah, grab Tsimikas. Maybe Robertson will get injured in the warm-up or something.
Okay, so here is the squad. We've got goalkeeper rotation here, and an emphasis on rotation is Robert Sanchez and some guy from Norwich called Michael McGovern. Welcome to the team. In the defense, we've got Marcus Alonso, Dan Byrne, Charlie Taylor, João Cancelo, and Tsimikas. Across the midfield, we've got Brownhill, Lucas Moura, Jota, Bruno Fernandes, and James Maddison. And up front, that is Emmanuel Dennis, Cristiano Ronaldo, not to be confused with Fat Ronaldo, and also Harry Kane. It's a pretty good team.
I don't think that... It's not bad. I wonder what the team looks like because we still don't have Reguilón in the back, right?
That's right. Yeah, we've got no Spurs defensive coverage. Yeah. Could we? We've got 0.2 in the bank. I'm thinking about even Hugo Lloris in goal. Because we've got Sanchez in goal. Dan Byrne. Ugh.
I think I would end up doing...
Cancelo to Reguilón?
See, I don't like that. I mean, I think I would just keep Cancelo, but I think what I would end up doing is I'm not enamored with the midfield, so I think I would consider a 4-3-3. And I would do,
I think it's Cancelo to Reguilón because, you know, City've got Chelsea. It's going to be a weird game, but I'm with you. Finish your thought.
Yeah, that's really when the free hit versus wild card debate becomes important, right? Because no one's dropping Cancelo in a long-term way.
No.
But yeah, for the sake of a free hit, I think that Chelsea could certainly score. I mean, it's not like I wouldn't expect Cancelo to get like an 18 pointer in that match, right? And so if dropping him frees up enough cash to make some other moves, then I guess I'm okay with it. Because I do like Reguilón for the double. I mean, he just like, I mean, I know he had that one match where he had a yellow card and got subbed at halftime, but in general, I think he's played fantastic. And it's kind of shocking to me that he hasn't had like a big match, kind of similar to the one that Cancelo had at Newcastle a couple weeks ago, right? Where he had the, you know, it was like a goal assist, a clean sheet. Like, I just think that Cancelo's got, I mean, Reguilón's got like a really big match in him sometime soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to see it. I mean, he's got at least one, according to the Southampton fixture, he's got one half in him.
You know, Brendan, looking at your team again, I mean, if you think about Watkins as someone who could come back, there's at least, I've heard there's a glimmer of a possibility that Villa could have a, could have a double in 23.
Sure.
Son could be back. I mean, given there's a gap between game weeks 22 and 23, I mean, given that we're still a couple weeks away, that is, Son could be back. Salah, very, very outside chance he could be back already. Trent could be back. Livramento, we might have some more information. I don't know. I mean, like, I almost wonder if maybe a free hit would be okay in your case. You know, it might make things a little bit simpler. It might save you some grief. And I mean, I don't know. I think, like, now that we've sort of talked it through and you could basically, like, you just built a team that looks pretty good, but not a team you necessarily want for the next 10 weeks. I think maybe a free hit is the way to go.
I do find it odd where I'm in a situation with my team where the only thing that doesn't make sense is just using a free transfer. I am in a situation where I have to play a chip. It's just a matter of which one. So yeah, I'm with you. And I hope that this exercise also dispels the notion that there is no team one could field that is not compelling with the free hit. I think that you very much could. Field a free hit team that's going to beat the field by 15, 20 points.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if anything, we didn't have enough spots for people that we kind of wanted to have. Right. I mean, you know, my boy Trossard couldn't make that team. You know, that's how good that team was, Brandon, that Leandro Trossard, one of the great.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
I just burned 44 points on my team. No, I actually didn't. I'm joking. I didn't do that.
You sounded very serious. I really, did you think you did for a second
there?
No.
Okay. I thought that would be fun for the listeners.
Wow. Well, it was getting my heart stopped for a second. All right. Well, that is, so that's where we are. I mean, I think, you know, it's as far as captaincy goes, if we want to just kind of round things out here a little bit with the players, I think Ronaldo, kind of depends on which players you bring in, what strategy you pursue. I mean, I know that's like a boring answer, but it really does vary a little bit. I think, you know, if Ronaldo plays, looks okay in tomorrow's FA Cup match, I think bringing him in seems like the obvious move for almost anybody, no matter your situation, just because it's so easy for him to get points.
See a world in which he plays in that FA Cup match, right? If he needs a rest and...
Well, they haven't played in a week. I think he'll start tomorrow, actually.
Yeah,
I think he will. I mean, they haven't played since that Wolves match last week. So I think, I don't know, maybe you're right. I don't know. I feel like they still need like reps, though, under Ragnik. So maybe they, you know.
Working out the system and all that, whatever the system that might be.
Doing. Yeah, exactly. So I think barring injury or any more crazy news, I think Ronaldo feels like the best captain pick. And I think Kane has a reasonable argument as a kind of, I mean, Kane is going to have to be the guy, right? He's going to have to be super central. I actually think that you could make an argument for, I think we actually talked about this a little bit in last week's pod, but you can make an argument for Kane over Ronaldo for that spot, just because Ronaldo has been so disappointing. I think with Ronaldo, you get into the effective ownership stuff where just like, they're probably equally good. But if Ronaldo does well and you don't have him, that could hurt you a little. I mean, I don't know. It kind of depends. I mean, like maybe that's like the wrong way to think about it. I think sometimes we get a little caught up in the effective ownership thing and it kind of like if Kane does well and Ronaldo does well, then it's like a wash. Right. Mm-hmm. But just from like a risk management perspective, I wonder if having Ronaldo is just a little bit safer.
Yeah, I'm with you, but it is to me a coin toss. Like we were very much ready to captain Son coming into this game week before his injury.
I know.
But now it becomes a weird coin toss between Kane and Ronaldo. And I think it's just going to come down a little bit to gut feel and how it all lands.
Yeah. I mean, Kane did score this weekend. Kane seems more fun. If we're in like the look at the, like,
sure.
At the game week in front of you
I'm
and just
you.
And worry about the future in the future. I think Kane is a little more fun. The thing that makes Ronaldo a little more fun, I suppose, is it's fun to have the player. Honestly, they only play 45 minutes apart, 30 minutes apart. It's fun to have the player playing in the last match of a game week. Like that's always entertaining. And Brentford Man United is the final match of game week 22. So, you know, if that kind of thing is something you think about, then that might be a factor. I'll admit I think about it more than I should. So that is a consideration, I suppose.
Okay. So I think we've got a good view of game week 22 now. Now the whole goal is for there to be no more breaking news between now and the Friday deadline. Fingers crossed.
That would be great. Let's hope so. All right. Well, let's end the podcast there. I want to say thank you to everyone for listening, and a special shout out to our producer patrons. Brendan, do you want to thank our producers?
Yeah, big thanks to Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husbeek, Ben Grant, James Holland, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Forberg, Skogang, Paul Herzig, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov at FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Kieran Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Bluno Stu, Mike Uwong, Bruce Kerr, Sam Schauer, Rich Evans, Future Media Group FPL, Ben Sweeney, George Kinney, Shiv Morjoria, Rom Frosk, AJ, Jeremy Spiker, Lazaros Yanos, Jesse Halstead, Matthew Becker, Caleb Robbie, Todd Byerly, Alper Paxoy, Martin Osbeth, Lee Hickman, Valger Paulson Kruger, Jazz Binning, Francis Moore, Managed by Lasso, James Keatley, Keegan Walsh, The Saint, and FPL Pessimist. Rate, review, and subscribe to Always Cheating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters. Josh, my dad asked me over the holidays, son, on which social media platform are you most active?
Really?
It's never a question you want to. Yeah, you don't want your parents to know where you're most active. But dad, if you're listening, we're on Twitter, Instagram at Hail Cheaters. Email us hailcheaters@gmail.com or visit our website at alwayscheating.com for this information and more. Josh, I wish you and all of our listeners good luck in the upcoming double.
I wish you good luck too. And just one final reminder that we will be doing a Patreon podcast on Wednesday evening. So hopefully we'll have any big important breaking news. We'll also know what happened in the Game Week 21 fixture, so we can do a proper wrap up then as well. So if you want to join the pod, support us that way, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Thank you again, Brendan, I'll tack on to what you said. Thank you so much, everybody. Good luck this weekend. And let's hope for some normalcy over the next couple of weeks.
Here. Bye.